قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا وحقهن عليكم. He said their حق on you. أن تحسنوا إليهن في كسوتهن وطعامهن. He said their حق, verily the right upon you that they have on you is to be kind, to be respected, or to respect, or to take care of their clothing and whatever they eat. This is a responsibility. Hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we mentioned. You eat, you feed your wife when you eat, and you clothe your wife when you wear something, when you buy something for yourself. We're not neglecting the fact, ya ikhwak, irhamakallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ar-rijalu qawwamuna ala al-nisa. Ar-rijal qawwamuna ala al-nisa. That men are protectors and the maintainers of women. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned, said, وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجًا. And the men have a degree over them, a degree of authority over them. But that doesn't mean we can abuse them. If the wife is a righteous wife and she's trying her best, then we should also honor that. We should also respect that, and we should also appreciate. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الرجل راع في أهله وهو مسؤول عن رعيته. Said Allah, رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the man is responsible for his household, and he will be asked about his guardianship, about his responsibility. The responsibility is not only to feed and to clothe. The responsibility is to teach the deen. The responsibility is to be kind to them. The responsibility is to be aware of what they need. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى for the women who are مخالفات who are على في state instead of نشوز قال فإن خفتم ألا تعدلوا عفوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said women that in the shoes وإن امرأة خافت من بعلها نشوزا أو كما قال سبحانه وتعالى ما هي آية يا إخوة وإن امرأة خافت if women afraid out of the shoes that when she would not be a response, she would not respond. I love the train of my thought, but something else came to my mind I want to share with you. But alhamdulillah. But let us talk about the nushuz or the huquq of the nushuz. معنى النشوز يا إخوة لغة هو الأرض المرتفعة. It is a land that is uphill, the little hill that we see. And the reason that we ulama call nushuz, or Rasulullah call nushuz, or Allah call nushuz, is because women, they put themselves higher than what the authority that Allah has given to them. And this is the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to make hijrah. فَعِذُوهُنَّ First we admonish them, and then we make hijrah from them, and then فَضْرِبُوهُنَّ And then we hit them, not abuse them, not kill them, just a little hitting, avoiding the face and all that. And the things, when a woman can become ناشزة, a woman should obey her husband in all cases. في طاعة الله كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الطاعة في المعروف. The طاعة, the obedience of the woman, the man, or the authority the man has over his wife is that she should obey him in معروف when he's ordering her or asking her to do good. ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. No one should listen to anyone in a disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that situation, Allah is giving you the following steps. As we mentioned, number one, فَعِذُوهُن You admonish them. You tell them the haqq. You give them advice. You talk to them openly. If this is not the case, فَهْجُرُوهُن They make hijrah. Do not sleep on the same bed. Do not sleep on the same bed with them. If this is not working, and she's hard-headed, she's a feminist, and she's trying to live like American women, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَضْرِبُوهُنَّ. If there is a benefit, then this is the time that you hit. You don't hit the face, you don't hit anywhere that would leave any marks in her body. وَالْحُرُّ عَقْعَاقَ لِيَا إِخْوَى. الْحُرُّ ميزان. If you can't hit the face, you can't hit the chest, you can't hit the shoulder, you can't hit the stomach, then you know where to hit. You know, pick your choice, inshallah. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم خيركم لأهله, asking, giving the Sahaba nasiha. He said, the best of you is the best to his family, and I am the best to my family. صلى الله عليه وسلم. The best, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is the best to his family. ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى, يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, إذا دعا رجل امرأته إلى فراشه فلم تأتيه فبات غضبان غضبان عليها لعنتها الملائكة حتى تصبح. If a man calls his wife for his haq and he demands his right and she says no, and then the man sleeps or spends the night being upset with her, then the angel will curse the woman until she gets up or until the morning comes. And again, nasiha ya ikhwa, nasiha, don't put your wife in a situation that the malaika will curse her. If you never took a shower for a week and you smell, mashallah, like a jifa, like a dead animal, dead body, and then you say, I want my haq, my right, and she says no to you, maybe out of respect for your feeling, don't force her, the malaika, to curse. In this case, يَا أَخِي تَيْزَيَّنُوا لِنِسَائِكُمْ. We all should do this. A man should look nice, attractive, smell nice for his wife. Like Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu. When one of the people came to him, and I mentioned this before, when one of the people came and he found Abdullah ibn Abbas fixing himself, taking care of himself, putting some misk, and then the man said, Ya ibn Abbas, nadribu laka akbad al-ibn wa anta hahuna takazayyanu kalmar'a. He said, we'll travel for you long distance and you're standing here like a woman, you know, taking care of you, beautifying yourself. Abdullah ibn Abbas, and this is a student of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, qala ya hada inni la ajidu hada fi kitabillah. He say, I find this, what I'm doing is based on the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, ayn, qal walahunna mithlu alladhi alayhinna wa ashiruhunna bil ma'ruf. He say, all this is indication that they have equal rights. If you want your woman to, your wife to wear all the gold that you bought, if you want her to look good, then you also do the same thing. And also our sisters, mashaAllah, when they're going out, Allahu Akbar, Hur al-Ain, mashaAllah, she smells nice, she looks nice, she have all the gold that you bought for her, for other men, for the other men, mashaAllah. And everything is for everyone else but yourself. But when she comes home, she smells like onion and garlic. This should not be the case. The woman should beautify herself or her husband inside the house. And when she's leaving, she should dress modestly, with the respect and the limit, respecting the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and looking decent. We should not say that she should go out smelling bad. We should not say that she should wear something that is unacceptable. No, she should wear something that is decent, but with the limits of Islam. With the limits of Islam. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here he's telling you, if you call your wife and ask for your haq, and she denies that, the malaika will curse her. In that case, if this is the case, then make sure that you forgive your wife before you go to bed. Because there is no benefit in you, there's no benefit in it for the malaika to curse these women, and the dua of malaika is mustajab. The dua of malaika is not like our dua, but the dua of malaika is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, talking about the right of the husband, maybe this would please the brothers. He said, لو كنت آمرا أحدا أن أحدا أن يسجد لأحد لأمرت المرأة أن تسجد لزوجها. He said, if I were to order anyone to pressure to make sujood for anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would ask the wives to make sujood for the husbands. This is a tremendous haq, ya ikhwan. This is a tremendous haq that the husband have over their wives. And that's why ulama hadith yaqul, إِذَا صَلَّتِ الْمَرْأَةُ خَمْسَهَا. If the woman performs her 5 daily prayer, وَصَامَتْ شَهْرَهَا, and she fasts her month, وَأَطَاعَتْ زَوْجَهَا, and she obeys her husband, in narration said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angel will say, Udkhul min, enter the paradise from any gates that you desire. كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So obeying the husband, or the rights of the husband, it is tremendous right that most of the women do not appreciate, do not know. If Rasulullah is telling the sisters that she cannot spend her own money, she cannot spend without the permission of her husband, then what about other things? لا يحق لها أن تصرف مالها بغير إذن زوجها. She has to have the permission of her husband. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, والمرأة راعية في بيت زوجها وولدها. And the woman and the wife is responsible over the house of her husband and his children. Now Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم said, وولدي. وولدي. Why وولدي? What did he say, and his children? It could be maybe that you married more than one wife, and you have your children from the other house. Or it could be that the wife or the mother of that children died, and she also taking care of your children, which is not hers. And at the same time, she should take the children, her own children, as a trust. Why wa waladihi? Because he would be responsible first yawm al-qiyamah. First, Allah will ask the man his responsibility. That's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and bayti zawjiha wa waladihi, and his children. And then Rasulullah said, in the haq of the man, he said, فَحَقُّكُمْ عَلَيْهِنَّ, and your right over them. See that the Sunnah is like the Quran. The Quran talks about Jannah, it talks about Nar. Talks about Iman, then Kufr. Talks about light, then Dhulm. Talks about justice and Dhulm, and so on. Here the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you really look closely to it, it deals with the issue. Not only siding with the man, or siding with the husband, with the wife, but all being in the middle, giving this his right and giving that his right. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, their rights over you, فحقكم عليهن, أن لا يطأن فرشكم من تكرهون. He said, the right that you have over your wife, that they should not let anyone into your house that you dislike. ولا يأذن في بيوتكن لمن تكرهون, and they should not allow anyone to your house that you dislike. But the first part says they should not allow anyone on your bed. It means they should be trustworthy women. Inshallah, maybe we'll stop here, and we will allow inshallah some of the brothers to throw their comments. Inshallah, we have two brothers from Jamaat al-Islamiyya, Jamaat al-Madinah, the future of Shuyukh, Brother Abdullah and Brother Isa. I'm sorry, Brother Abdullah and Brother Isa. And inshallah, you will not need, when this brother come back inshallah, these brothers come back, you will not need anyone from outside inshallah. فَلَا نُزَكِي عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And inshallah, they will fulfill the need that we have in America. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them and help them and aid them. But one thing that I was reading about the Jama'a al-Islamiyya, they said every year they accept 1,500 people. And they said only 1% of the people finish their education in Jama'a al-Islamiyya. 1% means only 15 people go to the Jama'a and finish the Jama'a. And the symbol is, the reason is because in America we were taught to be entertained. You don't want to learn this ilm unless you've been entertained. Because we're living in a society, entertainment is everything. So when we go over there, and the shiur are so serious about this deen, and they demand so much respect, and so much work from you, and you are taught to be entertained, then the people say, this is not what I want to do. Then they come back. Oh, they're not studious enough. And the Jama'a says, you're not a student, you're not a quality of this Jama'a, and you're not accepted. I have a friend, a sheikh, called Muhammad Maghrawi. And he's from Maghrib, and he has a school in Maghrib, in Morocco. And the sheikh, he has a special course, 6 years course. There's no midterm, there's no homework, there's nothing. You come and you study, you study, you study, you study day and night. They don't give you breaks. 6 years. You memorize the Book of Allah, you memorize the Bukhari and Muslim. You do this 6 years. But once a year, they will come to you and say, we have a test. Take the test. If you don't pass that test, you're not a quality that they're looking for. You must leave. So always you study whatever they taught you 2 years ago or the beginning of the year, you keep repeating and studying and doing your homework day and night. So I was very impressed the way he runs his program, a very strong program. So I said to him, Sheikh, can I send some people from America? I was in his room and we were having very peaceful conversation. The sheikh frowned and he said, I don't want them. And he was upset. As the sheikh just cooled down, I just asked you for a request. He said, they wasted my time. He said, I hired teachers to teach them Arabic. I hired teachers to teach them Quran. But each one of them, he comes, this is exactly what he said, and he sits like this, or sits like this, he leans down in the masjid, and in two, three months, he goes back. Why? Because they can't take the course. They can't take that, you know, volume of ilm. So he would not accept anyone from the West. So I would encourage my brothers not to come back, you know, and be, just start to make sure you are part of this 15%. If it's true, that make all the way in the Jama'a Islamiyya. And I've seen more than one person who they kicked him out of the Jama'a because he was not the quality they've been looking for. Huh? This is called traditional teachings. At the time, the ulama like Imam Bukhari and Muslim and Abi Hanifa and Malik, there was no test. There was no quiz. None of this is just something new because the people, they're not as good as those people. They're not trying as hard as those people. But at that time, the person will always depend on his memory. And that's why they hardly used to write. And these ulama said, ilm is what you memorize. It's not what you wrote it down. Ilm is what you memorize. That would benefit you. But what you wrote it down, it would not benefit you. It belongs to the paper. Those ulama never took a test. But they earned their position and their status because of practicing and teaching and memorizing as much as they can. Here, indeed, he's doing us a favor when he says, I'm giving you one time test once a year. And he tells you from day one, get ready. Any day, could be the first month of the year, could be the last day of the year. There would be a test for everything that you study. And these people are not joking. They're not only studying Bulugh al-Maram for 6 months or a year. These people are daily studying. Like a Muqbil al-Wadi'i rahimahullah, he would not even give people off the day of Eid. As some of the brothers who used to be there told us. Even the day of Eid, they would come back from the Eid and come to the halaqah. And those people who study under those ulama, they are the ulama. They are the ulama. They really would be the stewards of knowledge. Out here in the Jama'a Islamiyya, Umm al-Qura, you know, the Jama'at al-Imam Muhammad, Jama'at al-Islamiyya in Pakistan, all they're doing is they're just giving you the keys of ilm. They're telling you, we're not going to make you alim, we're just going to teach you how to use this material and how to become one. And it is up to you. If you want to advance, if you want to learn, if you want to inherit this, then you learn and do yourself study. If you don't, like Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah, he studies, he taught himself so much beside what he gained from a formal education. The ulama Ibn Baz rahimahullah, what university did he graduate from? Ibn Uthaymeen, all these great ulama that we read about them, the later one and the one in the past, they were all a product of the masajid. All product of the masajid. Imam Ibn Baz rahimahullah was a student of Imam Ibrahim, Sheikh Muhammad bin Ibrahim, Ali Sheikh. Both of them blind. Two blind people. And they used to sit under one, and they used to sit under the Sheikh and just memorize. Whatever the Sheikh says, he memorized. And if you ask Sheikh Ibn Baz any question, whether it pertains to aqidah, or seerah, or fiqh, or ilm al-rijal, or ilm al-hadith, any form of fiqh, or any form of ilm of the sharia, you would think this man did all his life but studying this portion of the ilm. When you ask him about the ilm al-rijal, the chain and the man, the ilm of the hadith, he will tell you the problem with every hadith that you can quote. And he will tell you the man in the hadith. If you ask him about the aqidah, same thing. If you ask about fiqh, the same thing. If you ask about tariq, he will tell you more than Tabari and Ibn. Why? Because he studied. He did not take a test. He was a blind man just sitting someplace and doing that. Rahimahullah. Naam ya, Sheikh.
Test.
No. نعم
ثاني هذا بالبسوبه
هذه الاشياء نعم
الصوره في الجو مفعله ما تكون دائما تكون يعني اي نوع من الاشياء هذا من
نعم the two questions that the brother had one he said some people urinate standing up they urinate they urinate you know what is the hukm of that And the other question, he said, there's a lot of people wearing something, bracelet or necklace, whatever it is, and they wear these things. What is the hukum of that? Urinating and standing up, if you make sure that the splash will not come back to you, then it's okay. And the splash, إِذَا تَضْمَنْ وَتَتَأَكَّدْ وَتَتَيَقَّنْ أن شطرات البول لن يرجع إليك في هذه الحالة يجوز نعم نعم
ما أعتقد أن لازم في ملابس
نعم نعم he said well it, even if you do that if the person is safe from the splash he said well at the end there will probably be a few drops that will get into his pants or his clothes if here It comes to another question, which is the cleanliness. Al-istinja wa al-istinjuma. Which means you can clean yourself with dry things. Whether it's a stone, or branch of a tree, dry branch, or what do you call tissue that we have nowadays. If you can clean yourself, with that, this is the best. Not sure it's not the best, this is good. Because the best thing to do is to do istinjumar wa then istinja. You dry yourself whatever you things that you have with the tissue, the paper towel, and then you wash the place of najasa. But if you can dry, like in the, because of the Sahaba Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to use stones or the branch of the tree. يعني كان يستجمرون في الحصى وبعض من الأخشاب والأقصان الشجر من غير الماء. فيجوز, if you can, but يا إخوة, is a risk. To be honest with someone, to stand up and urinate, it cannot be safe. It always, something would come back to you. It is very difficult. So if the best thing is for you to sit down and take your time. Some of the books would say, when you urinate, you should, you know, hold your this side, and you have to say ahem, ahem, maybe 30 times, and you have to move left and right. No, they do, and left and right, and then you have to walk 40 steps and then come back. Subhanallah, this is a full-time job. No, this is, none of this is useless. It is useless, all this is useless. As the brother Jazahallah Khair said, you know, you make sure you clean, your person should clean himself, and he dries himself, and then alhamdulillah. If you feel that something came out of that, after that something came, then in this case you have to change and wash the place, wash the whole area. That's number one. The other thing, wearing, you know, bracelet or necklace, there are two things. إذا كان من التمائم, you know, sometimes we have, especially our brothers from Somalia, what they call qardas, I don't know how many of you are here, which is something like a necklace, is a thread that you put, and at the end it has a little square, and in it, before they tie the thing down, they put some ayat al-kursi or things like this, and then they say this is good and this will protect you. This is unacceptable. This is not from the sunnah. This ahraz is not from the sunnah. The Muslim should not do this. That's one. If this is the thing that the brother is talking about, that should be removed. And also we have something on your arm that to protect you also. That is also unacceptable. It's not acceptable in our Sharia. But if he's talking about the normal necklace that the kuffar, you know, wear, so you can show off that you, mashallah, you blend, you fit with the jama'ah, and you walk like them as though you have a problem with your knees, and that your pants have on your thigh, and you keep, I don't know how these people walk. And have you ever seen them running, catching a bus? Have you ever seen them, the way they hold their pants? I say, why don't you buy a pants that fits you, brother? He say, no, this is his style. I say, mashallah, if I bring my whole family, we'll fit in that pants. But they wear it anyway. So imitating this is not acceptable. Now wearing this thing, ya ikhwa, one of the, number one, if it's imitating the kuffar, Allah, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يقول خالف اليهود والنصارى, خالف المشركين, be different from them, and do not follow the sunnah. The other thing, some of the ulama, rahimahullah, very strict, and I have to agree with this ulama, not that I have knowledge, but I think they on the right spot, that this is a tashabbuh bin nisa. This is tashabbuh bin nisa. Ya ikhwa, man was not created to beautify themselves. You know, was not created for this. Men were created for jihad, for hardship, for fights, for bringing food to the table, for defending the country and the deen, as you say, the deen and the country. You know, for these things. Not to wear something soft and, you know, you walk soft. This is not from us. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Umar bin Khattab, when Aisha radiallahu anha saw some people, some young man who's walking soft, nodding her heads, and she said, who are these people? And they say, this is the people who are trying to be a zuhad. قالت radiallahu Umar, كان إذا مشى أسرع وإذا ضرب إذا تكلم أسمع وإذا مشى أسرع وإذا ضرب أوجع radiallahu anha. She said, may Allah forgive Umar. He said, this man, if he speaks, he will speak loud, and people will hear him. And if he walks, he will walk fast. And if he hits, he will really hit. You know. So this is men. This is us. And wearing these things, we leave this for women. أَوَمَنْ يُنَشَّأُ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ وَهُ فِي الْحِصَامِ غَيْرُ مُبِينَ. And this soft thing is for women. It is not for the men, especially our young. Wallahi, it's sad to see our youth imitating this kuffar. And the funny thing is, they have Allah, they have the star and the curtain, they have the Kaaba, and I say, حَسْبِنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But they think they're doing a favor for this deen, and in reality they're not doing a favor. Now, the brother is saying some people have brought Allah and they walk into the bathroom, which is not acceptable. Now, Qiyam al-Layl, without the Jama'ah, the month of Ramadan, is it the Bid'ah or is it from the Deen? It is Bid'ah and it's from the Deen. It is Bid'ah if we say, let us meet every day in this particular place and we have Qiyam al-Layl, or a certain day in Qiyam al-Layl. But it's not Bid'ah if the Jama'ah come together and they pray together, other than Ramadan. Like we mentioned, Hadith Abdullah ibn Hadith ibn Hudayfa ibn Yaman, Hadith Abdullah ibn ibn Mas'ud, Hadith Abdullah ibn Abbas, all of them they pray Jama'ah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before Umar ibn Khattab ordered everyone to join the Jama'ah, the people used to pray little groups inside the masjid, the different Jama'at inside the month. This is the month of Ramadan, so the month of Ramadan it is permissible. Other than that, other times it's also permissible. But what is not acceptable is, let us have Qiyam al-Layl that day of the month, every third Friday of the month, or every second Friday of the month. This is when it's not, this is what the ulama rahimahullah would consider not acceptable or form of bid'ah. نعم يجوز في ولا يجوز في نفس الوقت يجوز إذا كانت الجماعة أتت عفوية أي من غير ميعاد مرتب رأوا جماعة يصلون في بيت الله فانضم إليهم هذا في غير رمضان نعم سأتي إليه أما في هذه الحالة عليكم السلام أذنت في هذه الحالة كما في حديث ذكرنا عبد الله بن عباس وحديث عبد الله بن مسعود الحديث عن حذيفة بن يمان and they pray with Rasul, صلوا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جماعة. أما في الرمضان فيجوز كما أثبت الصحابة. أما غير رمضان فإذا قال الناس نجتمع في يوم معين يوم محدد من الشهر فهذا قالوا لا يجوز خلينا من البدعة. أما إذا كان على غير ميعاد فيجوز. Inshallah, last question. The brother said, can you pray behind Shia? Is it permissible to pray behind Shia or not? In very short statement, not every Shia is a kafir, not every Sunni is a Muslim. This is one of the principles that some of the ulama use. What I mean by this is, not everyone who claims to be Shia is considered to be a kafir, and not everyone who claims to be a Sunni is considered to be a Muslim. Now, if the Shia form the a'imma of the Shia, like Ithni Ashara or Ghairim, this the ulama said he's a kafir, you cannot pray behind him. And if he's a common Muslim, he's a common Shia, but he believes that the Quran is complete and the Sahaba of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Sahaba of Rasul and the Muslims, and he believes with our principle, in this case you can pray behind him. يعني بمعنى إن كان هذا الشيعي إن كان من الذين يقولون بتحريف القرآن وبكفر الصحابة فهؤلاء لا يصلى خلفهم خاصة العلماء منهم. أما إن كان هذا الشيعي يؤمن بكمال القرآن ويؤمن بأن صحابة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أجمعين كانوا الصحابة وماتوا على الإسلام ومات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو عنهم راضي, في هؤلاء يصلى خلفه. لكن إذا كان هذا الإنسان ليس عالما في الشيعة في التشيع, لأن أقرب الناس لنا إلى أهل السنة هم الشيعة الزيدية, والشيعة الزيدية وإن اتفقنا معهم في مسائل الفقهية خاصة في مسائل الصلاة وغير ذلك والتمتع, لكن يخالفون في مسائل العقيدة لأنهم معتزليون في العقيدة, أي يؤمنون بمبدأ وبعقلية الاعتزالية. فهذا العلماء إذا إنسان أقامت عليه حجة ثم أصر عليها فهو يعتبر كافر, لا يصلي بهم. هذا دار الإسلام, إذا كان نرجع إلى أصل الرجل، إذا كان الرجل لا يؤمن بكفران الصحابة ويؤمن بكمال القرآن ولا يكفر أحد ولا يقول بألوهية علي رضي الله عنه في هذه الحالة، ولا يسب الصحابة مثل أبو بكر وعمر، يصلى خلفه. نعم، في هذه الحالة لابد أن يتحقق من أمر الرجل، لابد أن يتحقق. أما إنه كل الشيعة كفار عند أهل الشيعة، جزاك الله خير.